Did you literally have to study like remotely? Like, did they organize something for you?
Yeah, they did. I try to, like, when I was at cricket, just focus on the cricket, and then at school catch up everything. But it was tough in matric because I had the 2017 World Cup in England, so I missed all of my June exams. And then the school let me write my June exams during my prelims.
Okay.
So then, like, during prelims, I'd have maths paper one September exam, and then I'd have maths paper one June exam in the afternoon.
Oh, my
So
word.
I'd have like double
That sounds
exams.
like my worst nightmare.
Oh,
Jeepers.
it was rough. Yeah.
Welcome to The Biggest Man in Cricket with your host, David Brooke.
Laura, welcome home.
Thanks.
Is it nice to be in Cape Town?
It's so nice. I've loved every second of it.
Have you forgotten the padlock for your home in Cape Town? Yeah.
No, not yet. It's so nice to be here. I think I did all my favorite things, just being back with all my friends and my family, and yeah, love it.
And you don't get bootlegged coffee around the world, huh? So
I don't. It's
it's nice
very
to be back
good.
in your favorite spot, huh?
Nice little perk. And there's one in my building where I
Oh
live, so I
yes.
can just go downstairs, and it's a
Do you
bit
own it now?
dangerous.
You're a franchisee? No.
No, not
Okay.
yet.
Listen, it's fantastic to have you here. A year ago today, we launched our first episode with Ashwell Prince at Bootlegger in Pineland, and here we are today with the Proteas women's captain, Laura Wolfart. And it's been a crazy year, and you continue to break barriers, and you're breaking a new barrier tonight on the biggest man in cricket. The biggest woman in cricket is on the show, our 21st episode, and it's really special to have you here, especially it's a busy couple of months. So we have spoken back and forth, and we finally got you here. What you been up to lately, besides for globetrotting the world?
Happy to be on the show finally. Thanks for having me. I think the last sort of 8 9 months has been pretty crazy. It's been sort of like back-to-back continuous tours. Haven't spent much time at a home at all. So this last 3 weeks we were in Cape Town, so that was really nice. Just doing normal people things. Training quite a bit actually, because we obviously got the World Cup coming up. So we were training at Bishop's. And then gymming, running, and getting all my admin done that I've missed out on the last 9 weeks. So stuff like car services and stuff like that I need to sort out. So did all of that.
Talking about car, congratulations on the new
Thanks.
on the new deal. That's pretty special. That's cool.
Very cool. Very happy to be a part of the Merc family. The car I get to drive is amazing. You've probably seen a photo, but it's really sick.
That's
It's
lovely.
way too fast for me. I drive really slow, so.
Just in time for the petrol price increase. So
Lovely timing, but yeah, that's all
yeah.
right.
You know, you're not around too much, so
Yeah, exactly.
you'll probably fill up a tank a year, so it'll be okay.
I can score there.
But you know what? When I saw that, it really made me feel like I've known you for many a year, even before I think you even knew the professional side of the game, where I used to come down to the nets at Newlands and watch the men's team train, and then the women's team would train in the afternoon, and there was this young girl there, big hair, but had the most beautiful cover drive that
Thanks.
I'd ever seen. And everyone was like, no, this kid has got the goods. Just tell us about that kind of growing up, and you know, in girls cricket, not necessarily going to school where girls cricket was a thing. At many of the other schools, you kind of grew your game at a very different time to what it is currently in cricket for girls.
Firstly, I'm glad I changed my hairstyle. I think that was not so cool, that big ponytail. I think obviously women's cricket at the time was not the way it is now at all. So growing up, sort of didn't really know that it existed. A lot of my friends were boys at school and they played cricket, so I just played along with them. I had no idea we had a Proteas team or that there was any kind of or other girls that played cricket. So yeah, the day when I found out there were other girls, I was like, whoa, it was like a revelation sort of to see that other girls playing cricket. And yeah, obviously made my debut pretty young for the Proteas. There wasn't really like a pipeline in place like there is now. Like nowadays I don't see it happening. I think you know, that young girl would first play a bit of under 19 cricket and emerging side and maybe go to academy or two before playing for the pro tiers. So it was kind of like fast tracked back then. And yeah, never looked back. I think I've played pretty much every ODI since making my debut. So that's been pretty cool. And just to see the way that women's cricket has evolved the last 10 years has been crazy. And to be a part of it is pretty nice.
You've pretty much grown up in the public eye, whether that was by choice or not. You know, it's that must have been very daunting from a young age. You know, you were still at school, coming to a practice. You know, I think Coach Claire de Blanche, like those those kind of figures in your career, at the start of your career. How was that? You know, from a entering Western Province at such a young age, you were playing under 19, I think, when you were 11 years old. So the age groups didn't really matter, but there weren't under 12, under 14 girls provincial. So your first entry into provincial cricket was under 19 level. How was that for you?
Yeah, probably a big step. I think my first under 19 week was when I was 11 or 12. My mom still had to come with to Joburg for the week, and I think I slept with her at a guest house and then just joined the team because I was like a bit too young to be with the team in the hostels and stuff, because some of them were like 18 and stuff. So I guess throughout my early career there was always quite big age gaps. And I think I played for province women when I was like 14. So even that's a pretty big, because then you're playing with like 35 year olds and you're 14 years old, and you know, topics of discussions and jokes are a little bit different. But yeah, I think it was cool to learn from a cricket point of view, because at the same time I'm playing with some of the women who are playing for South Africa, you know, some old players like Chandra Fritz, Lexis Le Breton, Robin Upples, some legends of Western Province women's cricket. So I think I learned a lot from them quite quickly when I was really young. And you sort of get exposed to a much higher level because you play with people that are so much older.
I was actually, I was watching your India series recently, and Stacey Leclerc was umpiring there. And I was like, these two must have been they were teammates. And now you're the captain of the Pro Tiers, senior women's team, and Stacey was umpiring. I mean, you just see the evolution of the game for women's cricket. That must have been quite a cool thing to see.
Yeah, I didn't even know she was doing umpiring, and then she was standing for one of our games. So I was like, Stacey, better not get me out. But she did.
that's cool to see. I mean, you know, I was watching Vaibhav play yesterday in the... I mean, he's ancient compared to when you started. I mean, he's got nothing on Laura Vorford. You started when you were 11. I mean, he's 15 years old.
That's crazy.
In the IPL, scoring like he's scoring. I mean, like... It's crazy. There's no other word to say it. I was talking to somebody in the office today, and it was just like, it doesn't matter about age. This kid is the real deal. Like, when you watch that, what do you think? Is there anything that you can say that can equate what's going on there in India for him?
No, that's crazy. His talent is insane. But I think he just doesn't have any of that baggage that the old guys have. I think he's just playing with so much freedom, and you're seeing it with all those youngsters coming through. Even some of the young girls that are playing now, like Kayla Rainica and our team, they've sort of grown up from a young age to just hit sixes. And it's definitely not the way that I grew up playing cricket. I think I was very textbook, hit the ball on the ground, and sort of had to learn the power hitting stuff later on. And I'm still trying to get better at it. Whereas these guys and girls sort of learn the power hitting stuff first. And then the cricket stuff, you know, comes later, the old technical stuff. So yeah, it's just crazy to see the different ways kids are brought up and how much freedom they're playing with.
Growing up, obviously, there wasn't a lot of women's cricket, not even a stream of women's cricket. So growing up, who were the kind of men batters that you looked up to?
I always liked Herschel Gibbs. Loved watching him batting. Probably Quinton de Kock when he just started playing. Yeah. I think I was still in high school, was watching him a lot.
That makes him feel very old, by the way.
Yeah, he's not that old. And then, you know, the Jacques Ellis, AB de Villiers, those guys. But yeah, not any women to see on TV. So basically all men's players until I actually met some of the women that were playing for the Pro Tiers. So, yeah.
And going into that Pro Tiers setup so early on in your career, What was it like? What is that change room like? Was there a dominant senior player hierarchy, or was it a kind of very welcoming environment?
Pretty welcoming. I think still a little bit senior junior. I don't think we have that as much now. Now it's sort of just chilled. But yeah, I think it was obviously scary being there with so many senior players who are obviously a lot older than me. But yeah, pretty welcoming. But I have to say, quite a big step up from provincial cricket. I think international cricket was just at a different level. I think the gap's a bit smaller now, but it was pretty big 10 years ago. So then, yeah, I think I was opening the batting against England, like my first game, and I was like, whoa, I feel a bit, this feels a bit different. So yeah, pretty high level. So I had to get used to it pretty quickly, I guess.
We had Kyle Verona on the show a few months ago, and he was speaking about when he first came into the change room at Western Province, how he was a youngster and the senior players were the putters and Andrew Putting and those kind of guys. And he spoke about how he wanted to create, when he became a senior player, which he is currently in that side, how he wanted to create a welcoming environment for the youngsters coming through. At your age now of 27, you are, it feels like you've been around forever, which you have been, but you've still got hopefully another 10, 15 years of international cricket, and you can retire and come back as well. So we'll talk about Shabnam a bit later. But do you feel now that you in that setting that you can create the environment for a young Kayla Ronicka to come through the provincial system and immediately make an impact at international level?
I think that's super important, just to make everyone feel really welcome and feel like they can be themselves in the space. I know way back in the day, like before my time, there would be pretty hectic junior senior stuff, like making the young people carry your bags, and yeah, I think I don't really like that sort of stuff. I think to perform, you need to feel pretty comfortable in the environment, and I don't think you're going to get the best performances out of a Kayla if she's scared to talk to me. So yeah, I'm pretty sure. Try be the same with everyone, and yeah, not hopefully no one's scared of me.
How was that? I mean, that must have been quite intimidating. You obviously been named captain at a very young age. It's obviously a responsibility, which you kind of were always going to be the captain at some stage, but it came maybe earlier than expected. But now you must captain ladies that are older than you, the Marizane Cups and of the like. How was that from a, you know, you've obviously got the respect there, but it's still very difficult to captain up.
Especially I think I hadn't really had much experience in the captaincy, and I'm not a bowler, so I found the bowling stuff quite hard. Like, what am I supposed to say to Marizane Cup at the top of a mark? Like, I've never bowled before in my life, and I also haven't really captained much, so so what do I tell her? So I think that took a bit of getting used to, and a lot of sort of learning on the job is just getting to know the different bowlers, learning more about field settings and that sort of stuff. Because as a batter, you kind of know like what they're trying to do, but you're not always thinking as a bowler. So just having more of those conversations. I feel like I've learned a lot in the last 2 or 3 years that I've been captain. And I think it's helped my cricket in general, because you start thinking about the game in a different way, and in conditions wise, and what are they doing captaincy wise? Oh, it must mean slower wicket, stuff like that. Whereas before, I just kind of see ball, hit ball. So yeah, definitely a lot more well-rounded cricket-wise now.
Was there a time in and can you pinpoint it where cricket stopped becoming just fun and it became a profession where you were in the public eye, where you couldn't just enjoy it like a young 11-year-old just playing the game for fun?
Maybe a little bit the captaincy. I think it's just adds a little extra responsibility. There's always, that extra summer you've got to be sure you're prepared at come game day. Whereas a batting, you can kind of wing it or kind of get away with being really chilled. The captaincy, you can't just wing it. You have to do a little bit of prep always. So yeah, I think since I've been captain, it's been, the workload's increased quite a bit. It's still fun, but it's not just for fun anymore. But yeah, I enjoy the challenge. It's really rewarding, I think, when you win a game and there's sort of been a tactical, or it's been a good like defense of the bowling side, and then I feel like I was sort of involved in a way. Whereas as a batter, kind of just have one job. So it's been nice.
Do introverts as captains sometimes get misconstrued for being, not that you don't care, but that you're not outwardly emotional when you lose or when you win? Yeah. Do you find that sometimes it helps you, or does it sometimes play against you to be that introverted character?
Yeah, it's probably been the toughest part of the captaincy is I'm not a naturally chatty or outgoing person. But as a captain, you can't just not talk to half of your team. you know, ideally at the end of the day, I just want to go to my room and be by myself, but can't really do that. So I've had to make sort of a conscious effort to make sure I'm trying to connect with everyone. Maybe it still doesn't look like I am, but I am trying. And just stuff like giving an off-the-cuff speech, I'm really bad at. I can give a good speech if I do a bit of prep, have my notes there, think about what I want to say.
Yeah.
But just talking off the cuff, not good in front of a group of people. So I think Mandla's been pretty good with that. He obviously talks a lot, so he kind of takes care of that. And just trying to lean on senior players a bit has helped, just identifying who's good at the stuff that I'm not good at.
You've actually, you mentioned Mandla, but you know, when you first started, Hilton Moring was head coach, and you've gone through, the Proteas women's team has gone through a few coaches since Hilton's left the role. How difficult was that, where you're still trying to grow your game? It seems though that in the last few years, there's been more speciality focus. So you've had batting coaches all of a sudden, where Hilton might not have had that really fully in place. There was consultants, but all of a sudden now you've got Bakir there as batting coach. Then you've got the likes of Andrew Puttick as, you know, as the batting coach currently. How good is that for your game? I mean, geez, the Andrew Puttick, Laura Vorfart combination is just like, from a cricketer, from a Badger point of view, I mean, there isn't a better kind of mentor there.
The addition of the specialized coaches has been amazing. It's probably only been like 3 seasons maybe that we've had a batting coach, maybe less, which is actually crazy to think. Before, I think Hilton used to pretty much do everything. Bakes was awesome. I really enjoyed working with him. He's almost like a cricket guru. He knows everything about cricket. And he's really intense with his stats and his numbers and his game plans. And you can't get away with like slacking. You've got to make sure you do your homework with him. So I feel like I learned a lot from him. Sad to not be working with him anymore. But putters is also nice. Very different though. I feel like putters is way more chill. If you play a bad shot, he's like, oh no, that just bounced funny. Like, don't worry about it. he's super chill. Kind of the opposite to Bakes. Bakes was super intense. I feel like I can learn from both of them. And it's been nice to sort of see the two ways of going about it.
That analytical side of things, obviously, I mean, you're a bright young woman and you've got degrees, you've got 7 distinctions at school. And there was talk initially, I think, of going into medicine at some point. I mean, you enjoy the scrutiny, you enjoy the analytical side of the game. Do you think that, you know, in the modern T20 game, your game has evolved, which is fantastic to see. Did it evolve because you were looking at kind of analytical footage, or did it evolve based on kind of, you knew you had the ability, it was just a matter of finding the belief that you could, you know, play at a strike rate of 130 plus?
Yeah, a bit of both. I always felt like I could do it, but didn't really always know how to go about it. And at the start of my T20 career, I just tried to sort of whack it and lost all my shapes. So I had to do a lot of work on figuring out more game plan stuff, like how can I construct an innings where I'm scoring at 130, 140 without playing shots that I can't play. And I feel like that's where Bakes and I did a lot of good work the last 2 years. Just fixing little technical things and working more on game plans and manipulating the field and, you know, playing a little lap to move mid-wicket. Not that I did that much, but just small stuff like that and different angles to different bowlers and using my feet more and small things that end up making a big difference in your strike rate instead of just getting stuck at the crease.
And do you feel captaincy helped that at all? Or do you feel like nowadays you've got more of a depth in that Proteas lineup to say, right, we're batting down to 7 or 8 and all of a sudden Nadine de Klerk's coming in at 7, whereas at the start of your career, there was a lot of pressure on you up front to score. There was a feeling from the fans' point of view that if Laura Wolfart didn't score, the team would get rolled for 150.
Yeah, that's been awesome. I think in this recent India series, I found myself opening in the power play again, and sort of the thought at the back of my mind is, you know, I've got to get a move on in this power play. We've still got Kayla and Nades and Chloe are all still on the bench. Or even if we get to the 10th over mark, I'm like, okay, it's time to move. Like, these people need to come and whack it. So that's been really nice, just to have that freeing mindset in the middle, to know that I can just try take it on because we have so much depth to come.
Years ago when I was watching, you know, a series against the West Indies coming to South Africa, there was this element of if we win one or two of the T20s or the ODIs, it was a great achievement. When India arrived here for the tour now at the end of the season here, for the first time in a long time, for me, there was an expectation of we'll dominate the series. And even though it was India and they beat us in the World Cup final, etc., there was still this element of South Africa women at home should be dominating any side that comes here. So for us to dominate that series was quite special. Did you find it inside that camp, there was something that switched? That there wasn't just like there's an expectation here now for the home team as the home team to win those series.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, we obviously had a tough tour to New Zealand before, and then starting this India series, it just felt everyone was pretty chill. I feel like when we play at home, there's always that crowd, and I think the first game we played was a day-night game, and it just feels like there's always that extra bit of vibe or energy at the ground. But everyone just looked really switched on, really focused. And I think we restricted them to like 140, 150 in that first game. And all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, okay, like we can totally chase this. This is not that much. And then we smashed it and chased it pretty quick, went out really positive. And I think after that first game, you know, India sort of didn't look like the India that beat us in the final. Just looked like a team that we definitely can beat if we play good cricket.
As you say, I mean, that you dominated. There was, you know, it wasn't like you scraped home on with three balls to spare. You actually dominated one by 9 wickets, etc., in a couple of the games. So that from a fan point of view was, but you know what, one of the biggest thing was for me was I always find that the Proteas women get the smaller grounds, you know, with respect to the grounds, the Benonis and the Buffalo Parks. I want to see the women playing regularly at Wanderers, at Newlands, at Kingsmead, in front of packed crowds. It was the end of the season. There was a lot of cricket played in South Africa the season. But to see those packed crowds like was something else. Awesome. That's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah. We had some big stadiums, sort of a mix, some big, some small. It has gotten better in recent times. I think we used to, there was this one series like 3 years ago. I think we played all 5 games in East London or something. So it's been awesome, like touring around a little bit more, playing at Wanderers, Centurion, that sort of thing. But yeah, I must say the crowds have been awesome. The last couple of tours have been really great.
I've always wanted to ask you this question. Is there more expectation on women cricketers to be a role model 24/7 compared to men's cricketers?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess we haven't really been in the spotlight for as long, so I haven't really thought about it. But yeah, I guess the guys can maybe get away with being a bit of a bad boy sometimes. But yeah, so far
there hasn't been too many controversial stories with female cricketers.
So far, nothing. Give them
a bit of time.
Yeah.
Just you know, we spoke at the start about you kind of joking around you never being home, but that literally is true. I mean, you used to be home a lot more often. You used to play some domestic cricket when you had the chance. But you are a global cricketer now, and you know you're playing in Big Bash. You're playing in the women's the WPL 100. What's it like traveling around the world as a global superstar?
Thanks. it's been a lot. I think obviously before just playing for South Africa, I had a lot more free time throughout the year. But those three leagues that I play, you know, it's three extra 6 week trips away from home, so it's been a lot of cricket, but it's very cool. I think it's what I always wanted to do as a young girl, is play cricket all year round, and it's so exciting how much cricket there is. Sometimes it does get a lot, like especially when it's back to back without a break, but it's been it's been awesome. And I feel like I learned so much at these leagues. So it's been really cool getting to work with different coaches, playing alongside different players. I feel like it's really helped me grow as a cricketer.
What's the professionalism like in those franchise teams compared to the national teams? Is it different?
It's fully professional. Used to be a bit more professional than what we had. But now we've got the batting coach and all of that stuff. Yeah. Whereas before, when it was just sort of Hilton head coach and a couple of consultants, the leagues were actually sort of better equipped than we were, which was crazy. I think when I first played Big Bash, I played 2 years at Brisbane Heat. And when I first got there, it was like mind-blowing. Yeah. They had batting coach, bowling coach, analyst, two physios. I got an apartment, I got a car for the month. And it was like nice setup. Yeah. Trained at the stadium, flew all around Australia to play in all the stadiums. And this was like 2017, 2018. So yeah, women's cricket wasn't where it is now in South Africa. But now it's pretty similar.
I mean, back in the day, I mean, Australia were just, the infrastructure was there, as you're saying. Like, do you feel we've kind of caught up, or do you feel that we're still punching above our weight in terms of how well we do in World Cups, etc.?
Yeah, I think we're still punching above our weight, especially just domestic cricket-wise. Yeah. I think our national teams are pretty evenly, like, looked after. But if you just look at the 10 years of investment in Big Bash and WNCL that they have, whereas we only just introduced domestic contracts and don't have a league. They probably have, I don't know how many hundreds of girls and young women that play cricket full time. They're just far ahead of us development wise. So
we were talking about it offline about how if you look at the Proteas men's side, and you look at the Vian Mulders, the KJ Rabadas, the Carl Varane, all that generation, they've played against each other, whether it's, you know, whether they lived in Joburg or Cape Town, they played against each other from like under 12, under 13 level, national tournaments, etc. When you came into that Proteas setup, you probably hadn't met three quarters of that side if they weren't Western Province girls.
Yeah.
And you might have met one or two playing in domestic cricket, but your first interaction with a Ayabonga Kaka was in the national team.
Yeah. Probably.
So that must have been quite weird, not knowing who your teammates were, but now you had to get on the field and compete at the highest level.
Yeah, that was strange. And I think also just with how quickly I joined the SA team, because I didn't really go to any sort of camps really, maybe one or two camps, and then I started playing. So that all happened really quickly. Like, I was in school the one day and then literally got a call to join tour, like, the next week.
Crazy. You took your school bag with you.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it all started really quickly. I think, yeah, it was a lot for a 16-year-old to take in, but yeah, it was cool.
Did you literally have to study, like, remotely? Like, did they organize something for you?
Yeah, they did. I try to, like, when I was at cricket, just focus on the cricket, and then at school, catch up everything. but it was tough in matric because I had the 2017 World Cup in England.
Yeah.
So I missed all of my June exams, and then the school let me write my June exams during my prelims. So then, like, during prelims, I'd have maths paper one September exam, and then I'd have maths paper one June exam in the afternoon.
Oh, my word.
So I'd have, like, double exams.
That sounds like my worst nightmare. Oh, jeepers.
It was rough. Yeah, well, at least I just had to study once for that stuff. Yeah, true. So okay. Didn't have to study in June and September.
Yeah, but you got seven distinctions, so you did okay. Jeepers, that is wild, eh? No, but I mean, also, you had a budding music career apparently during your school career as well. Hey?
Little phase, yeah. Yeah, I played a bit of guitar and wrote some songs, and I was in Parklands and we had a sound engineering studio.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was part of that club, like, and then we recorded one of my songs.
You kind of wish that you didn't become such a global superstar, because nobody would have known about that. All of a sudden now it's out there in the...
The songs are right, but that video is pretty rough. And everywhere I go, like, everyone's seen it.
Yeah.
Or whenever I join a new team, they always play it, like, in a team meeting or something on the screen.
Yeah. But at least in India, they love their music, so it helps. And I see
you're always trying to get me to sing there.
You built up a nice friendship with Jemima. Yeah. You know, you played at the Northern Superchargers at the 100. Just, I suppose that's what's opened up the world for you, right? I mean, you're meeting Indian ladies, Australia, England. That, you know, that's cool as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. I sometimes feel like I have more friends outside of South Africa, because yeah. I spend more time with those people than my friends back at home that I never see. But yeah, that's been cool, just having friends in Australia, because I've like played Big Bash for the same team for like 6 years for Adelaide Strikers. So you got to know the people pretty well and have the same coach there as well for 6 years. So yeah, it feels really comfortable, like family when you go back.
When you're in India and the crowds gather, like we all know the Indians go crazy for global superstars. Is it quite nice when you come to South Africa and it's like, yes, everyone knows who you are, but pretty much if you're sitting at a bootlegger, they'll maybe come for one or two photos, but they're not as
in
your
nice.
Face as the Indian fans.
Yeah, the Indian fans are a lot.
Yeah.
And with how women's cricket has exploded there, some of those girls that play for India are like superstars.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go for coffee with them.
You can't just go.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to see. And I suppose that's what everybody who's really punted women's cricket, we love to see it. I was looking at Kayla Rainica coming into the national setup. And that's where I feel like that gap has shortened from a domestic cricketer point of view.
For sure.
Problem is, you know, it's you're a victim of your own success, because you've got the Laura Wolfarts, Marizan Cups playing globally around the world, which means that they're never playing domestic cricket anymore.
Yeah.
Which means that the likes of Kayla Rainica, Faye Tunnicliffe, etc., are not exposed to playing with or against those national players. So there has to be an element of like, wow, okay, professionalism has gotten better, national provincial contracts, etc. But how pleasing is it for you to see, as the national captain, a youngster like a Karaba Mesu, Kayla Rainica, coming through that under 19 level?
Yeah, that's great. I don't see a player coming in like that 10 years ago and hitting a six off the last ball to win a game. In her debut, I think it was. But yeah, I think, like you said, it just shows that gap is closing, and the training and stuff that she's been doing with Claire and everyone back at Province has been proper. She just has a bit of that X factor, Kayla.
Yeah.
I think she likes the big moments, and she looks like quite a confident youngster, which I think suits her role perfectly, because you can't have any doubts when you're trying to whack sixes at the end. So
yeah,
I think she's very exciting, and the fact that she bowls a bit of off spin as well doesn't hurt. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets picked up in a couple of leagues in pretty soon.
That's fantastic to see. And you know, back when you first started, there probably was an element of, this is our, 11 or 12 players that are going to play every game.
Yeah.
And that if you fail a few times, doesn't matter. There's nobody really
injured.
Yeah, if somebody gets injured.
We're in trouble.
gets injured, you're in trouble. Is there an element now in the camp that there's so much depth from that kind of next level that it pushes excellence?
Yeah, for sure. There's way more depth now.
Yeah.
Still probably not Australia level depth, but it has definitely improved. I think if you look at someone like Elise Marie Marks, who's not in the World Cup side, but probably 10 years ago would have been, like a proper all-rounder, bowls pretty quick, whacks him. Yeah, I guess it's nice. Well, not nice, obviously, but to know that we have that sort of depth in the country. Youngsters like that coming through who haven't made the squad. Just shows that we have a lot more depth.
How was it when those first national contracts were awarded, in terms of being a fully contracted player, where you knew cricket is now my career? I can always go back to the medical side if at some stage in my life, but...
Yeah.
Cricket as a career was there for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the first couple of seasons were cricket as a career contracts yet. By the time I was out of school, it was pretty decent. That was very cool. I think the generation that played just before us, must have had it really tough to try and play cricket full-time and to have a job. So, it's definitely not really high performance if you're going to work at 9 to 5 and then got to train in the afternoon. So to be able to focus on cricket full time for as long as I've been out of school, it's been amazing.
I remember watching the ladies train as I'm leaving the office there, and it was cold at Newlands. There was no lights coming on for the training, and you were all out in the field as people were leaving home. You'd either been at school or some ladies had been working a full day and then coming to train and expected to then perform on the weekend. So to see the game evolve like that has been incredible. Something I want to, you know, do a bit of research for this episode, all formats, right? So women's cricket, you don't play a lot of test cricket, but you are one of the very few female cricketers that have got 100 in all formats of the game. When you were growing up, did you even think about playing test cricket? How important is test cricket in the women's game?
Yeah, growing up, I loved watching test cricket. Like I said earlier, I obviously watched a lot of men's cricket growing up, so I didn't really know that there was not much test cricket in women's cricket. So when I got here, I was kind of like, oh, that's lame. I would love to play more of it. I wish we played more. The few tests that I have played have been very, very cool. Obviously, massive learning experiences because we haven't played any sort of Red Bull cricket growing up. So it was weird playing my first Red Bull game in an actual international test match. We don't have any four-day cricket or anything like that. Very cool. I can see what they mean about like the battles within the battles, and it was weird betting like time and not overs. I think it's something I could be good at as well. I love batting, and I love batting all day. So I think it would suit the way I play naturally. Whereas T20 cricket is out of the way I play naturally, and I have to change a bit to play that. I think test cricket would really suit me.
Do you think in 20 years' time, test cricket is going to exist in women's cricket?
I hope so. I think we have two tests lined up in the near future. We're slowly starting to play more. But I really hope it's on the schedule more. But I get that they're trying to promote T20 cricket because it's, you know, fast-paced and exciting to watch. But I think as a player, test cricket is really nice.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I give my opinion to anybody who's prepared to listen to me, about the 100. And I believe, in just my personal opinion as the biggest man in cricket, I believe that when the 100 first started, that it was the perfect opportunity for the women's game to own something that was their own, and rather just a copy and paste of what men's cricket is doing. Is there an element from the females within the game that there is just this copy whatever the men's doing and replicate that, rather than saying the women's game is unique and we should own something that is our own as a concept?
You mean like just having the 100 for just women's cricket?
Correct.
It's a tough one. Like, you don't want to sort of just piggyback on the men's game the whole time. But I get that we're maybe not at that stage yet in the women's game. It's still growing. So the double headers at the 100 have been kind of cool because we do get pretty decent crowds because it's almost like a festival element. So I think for the start of the tournament, it was maybe needed. But like Big Bash, for example, has now sort of split into, it's not double header anymore. And I think that's worked quite nicely because we have our own window, sort of our own stadiums, our own tournament. And then the men's one only happens way later in like December. So maybe for the start, I think it was nice, but maybe, at the stage now where it could split.
Are England and Australia, you know, way ahead of the game in terms of, I've been to a few of the 100 games, and often, you know, when it first started, the ladies' games were the curtain raiser. But they started actually doing the men's game as the curtain raiser and having some of the ladies' games. Are they way ahead in terms of like, accepting women's cricket as the blockbuster game rather than just added on to the men's game?
I think so. I think Australia definitely leading the way. England, I think, still getting there. 100 has been great for it, though. But I think the girls in England just play so much more cricket games than what we do. Like, they'll play the 100, then they're driving with the bus to, you know, London for another game, a county blast game or whatever, and then they're back there playing club cricket, and they just have so much cricket on the schedule and just get exposed to so many more games than what our girls do in our current setup. Because I think our domestic, I think we currently only play 10 games per format a season, if I'm not wrong. There's just not enough games in the year.
100%.
because you can only do so much in the nets. You just have to play games.
And it's split between, all of a sudden there's a month off
or
2 months off sometimes.
Or like now, I think the last game was, I don't know, like March or April, and now there's no cricket for the whole of the winter.
Yeah.
Which obviously it's winter, but I think we just need to play more cricket. I think a tournament or a league would benefit us massively.
Mm. Talking about tournaments and England, there's a little bit of a big one coming up, T20 World Cup. Finalists in the last T20 World Cup, and obviously finalists in the 50 over as well. How excited are you about this this T20 World Cup?
Very excited. Starting to feel more real.
Yeah.
Getting together tomorrow with everyone for a bit of a team building, and then we fly off on next Monday. I hadn't really thought about it too much until I saw that squad announcement, and then it sort of felt pretty real.
Yeah.
But very excited. I think it looks like a really good squad. I think if you think about the 11 that might take the field, I think we're going to be a pretty solid group.
I really I commend the selectors and coach, and I'm sure you had a say in it as well, for bringing back Shabnam, because it was the one thing that was lacking was raw pace. You can question that, you know, maybe a youngster coming through, but there was nobody pushing through from a pace point of view. And selectors and the coach and the captain, I'm sure, made the right decision to bring back Shabnam. What is your feeling about that? I mean, you obviously, if the captain was against it, I'm sure the selectors would think twice, but you obviously had a say in it.
Not that much of a say, but I think it's a good call. I think obviously Shibnam is a world-class player. She's been playing cricket since she played for us. She's been playing in all the leagues. She still got me out in the WPL a couple of months ago, so it's not like she hasn't been playing. She's still bowling quick. She's still probably one of the quickest bowlers in the world. If she says she's available, then I don't see why not.
Especially in those conditions as well.
I mean, in English conditions, if you can have Shibnam opening the bowling with Marizan from the other end, that's 8 pretty good overs in a T20 game.
Absolutely.
Very exciting if you think about it. And then we still have, you know, the likes of Aya, Chloe, Nadine, Lefty. It's a really, really solid bowling lineup. And like you said, it's probably has been the one thing we've lacked since her retirement is that raw pace. Someone that pushes that 120 mark. And probably someone to really take control of that power play. I think we see that when Cuppy's not playing, is that power play is actually really hard to bowl in. And I think we had it lucky for so many years when Cuppy and Shibnam just did it for us. And no one really noticed what a good job that they were doing until they were both not playing. As a captain, I'm very excited to have them both back in the squad. Makes my life a lot easier. It's sort of 8 overs I can bank. I think it's very good for our chances.
And that aggression, I think, is also something that, not that we're not an aggressive side, but we do aggression a little bit differently. It's almost quiet aggression.
Yeah.
But Shibnam is in your face aggression, and I think that's a nice little added angle. Maybe that can hopefully take us over that tipping point, and Laura Wolfart can be the first captain in South Africa to lift a senior World Cup title. We're coming to the end. We know you've got a busy schedule and stuff, and you've got a nice Merc to drive home tonight. So we don't want to go on too much longer. But there's a few kind of, we asked our fans online on social media to just ask, you know, we're interviewing the legend, Laura Wolfart, ask a question to her. So got a couple of questions which I want to ask you. So Archana on Instagram, thank you for your question. They said you are a legend. How did you manage to be so consistent?
Thanks. I don't know. I think it's a bit in my like personality. I like my routines. I like doing the same thing over and over. So I think me and Bakes actually spoke about it a lot when he was our batting coach, is that I've sort of figured out a way to put the same innings on repeat over and over in ODI cricket, which I think has made me quite successful in the format. Obviously figuring out how to do it a bit quicker with time. I think my strike rate was pretty bad at the start. I think I just stay pretty calm. Don't get too frazzled too quickly in the middle, sort of know that I'll catch up. It's easier said than done, but I think it ties into to me as a person, just being able to be chilled and do the same thing for long periods of time.
Nice consistency on and off the field. Thanks, Darshana, for that. Then Mark Haslow of the West Coast Rollers cricket team. Who did you model your technique on?
No one really. I used to train a lot with this coach, Laurie Ward. He has this Pitch Vision Arena in Montague Gardens. Mm-hmm. And he had the screens at the back. So every time I played a shot, I could turn around and sort of watch the replay.
Okay.
So I think that visual of seeing my shots after playing them helped a lot technically growing up. So it was just pretty much through guidance working with him, try to get like the perfect cover drive. Well, I think that's why my cover drive is good, because we did a lot of bowling machine work, pace, outside off. So it's probably just a shot that I trained more than others.
You're very humble. It's not good. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, it's a thing of beauty.
Thanks.
In world cricket. One of the best sights in world cricket. I wanted to ask you as well about your warm-up technique as you're getting into the zone. Often we see you with your bat and a golf ball. Where did that come from and what does that give you?
It was something once I saw a girl do it at under-19 cricket, under-19 week. So I've done it for ages and I copied her. And then it was more of a superstitious thing in the beginning. Like I had to do it because I think when I did it the first time I scored runs. but then as the years have gone by, it sort of evolved into just a little routine that I can do every game, no matter where I am or who I'm playing for. And it happens right before I bat. So it doesn't matter what kind of warm up we did or if it's been raining or just right before I go bat, I just take 2 minutes to hit my golf ball and just watch the golf ball and not think about much. Try breathe a few deep breaths and just sort of, it's just, a little routine I can do every single time, which I like about it. Just sort of makes me calm.
And you actually do play golf, so it's one of your own golf balls that you're playing with.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I see you often post on socials, you're playing with your brother. Where did that come from? Do you enjoy, would you go in competitiveness?
The actual golf ball I use, I actually got from Lizelle Lee when she was still playing with us.
Oh, wow, okay.
When we opened together, she gave me that one. So nice. I think I've had that green golf ball for like 6 years or something.
Very
so
cool.
It's a special one. I can't lose it.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going to happen when I do. but really been getting into my golf lately. Probably like the last 6 months, I've been a bit obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother's pretty good. He used to be scratch. So he's taught me a lot. But it's a cool hobby to do on tour because there's always golf courses wherever you are in the world. And I like that it's a full day away from cricket. Like people know if I'm playing golf, I'm not replying for 5 hours. So it's been nice just to get away from everything.
Couple of pro-am invites on the Sunshine Tour or something like that?
I was invited to the Live Golf one, but we were away.
Okay.
So that would have been cool.
That would have been nice, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I need to get a bit better first. I'm not, not good enough to play in front of people, yeah.
Nice, man. Before we get into the declaration question, there's just kind of one question of, you know, Laura Wolfart, 20 years from now, you'll be 47, which is still young. But you'll be similar to my age, which makes me feel very old. But anyway, what does that look like for Laura Wolfart? And what is the state of global women's cricket look like in 20 years' time in your eyes?
Yeah, hopefully I would have retired by then.
I'm not, we might need you
grandma
still,
still playing. No, I think I'm hoping to have a cool job. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I don't know if it's going to be medicine. The longer I'm playing cricket, I think the less likely it's going to be that I do 6 years and internship in
Jeepers,
random
places.
When I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm in med school, but maybe I'm just doing a job that I got through my career connections. And I think women's cricket is massive. I think it's probably like what we're seeing with men's cricket, and it just keep growing. Like the growth in the last 5 years has been insane. I think some of the girls went for more in the 100 auction than what a lot of the men's players
Unreal,
did. I think that's just going to keep growing. It's probably the space that there's so much room for growth within cricket. So it's exciting to see, and hopefully players like Kayla are dominating.
She'll be 39 in 20 years time, so she
never
mind. Probably still be playing.
Yeah, maybe.
And her contract by then, I think, will be a lot more than
she's
than
at
what
the right
she's
time.
Getting now. Yeah,
yeah.
Fantastic. So we've got the declaration questions, quick fire questions, just fire away. Favorite cricket ground in the world for Laura Volfart?
Newlands Cricket Ground.
Lovely. A player from another country you speak to the most?
Probably Talia McGrath. Know her really well through Adelaide Strikers.
Nice. One batter from history you'd love to bat with?
Meg Lanning. She's not that much in history, but yeah. I've just never played with her before.
You never played with her in any of the...
I would love to bat with her.
Most underrated women's cricketer in the world right now?
Underrated? Maybe someone like Amy Jones from England. Not that she's underrated, but I think her keeping is insane. Mm. And she probably doesn't get enough...
Nice, I like that.
Recognition.
Favorite non-cricket sports person?
Maybe Roger Federer.
Nice.
But he's not playing anymore. But
yeah, that's fine, yeah.
I really like the way that he played his tennis. Yeah. He seemed like pretty chill.
I can see the similarities, yeah. I can see that. How you like him, definitely. Okay, final question. Hole-in-one at Augusta National or becoming the highest run scorer in the history of women's cricket?
I probably have to say the cricket one.
Yeah.
Just because.
But a hole-in-one at Augusta would be quite nice as well, eh?
But I think I've put a lot more hours in my cricket, so that would probably be better in the long run, like nice. Satisfying. But yeah, that hole-in-one would be really special. Yeah.
Laura Volfart, thank you so much for being here. I know that you're an ambassador for Bootlegger as well. So because Bootlegger kept the shop open for us, even though it's closed for normal patrons. Suppose this is what it's like to be a superstar. We placed it open specifically for you, but it's been brilliant having you here.
Thanks.
Wishing you and the coach Mandla and the whole 24 management team, and players all the best for the World Cup.
Thank you.
This is our 21st episode. We're hopefully going to go over 100,000 subscribers, as I said before, a global superstar, and we are proud of you, and we will be you'll be representing us on the world stage, and hopefully come back and we'll have you again on the show with a World Cup trophy maybe here.
That'll be awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.